I'm sorry, I turned that off when we were talking earlier. It's back on now. Our title is Those Who Simply Trust. So we look forward to what we're going to think about with that. We're going to be concentrating on reading from the first 14 verses from Matthew 18 as we look into that. Thanks to Jeff, the prayer diary is out. I've got some physical copies. As you know, you can sign up for that to come electronically on your email. It's on the website as well. So particularly concentrate on the prayer diary as it's back out. One notice that's not on this week's notices is March's evening prayer meeting. It's going to be Tuesday, as we mentioned last week. Comes around really quickly, doesn't it? So hopefully if you can possibly come along to that. These last few weeks we've been thinking, praying for others, we had, didn't we, the other Sunday? Jesus' prayer for us and praying together in earnest. So we can think about all those things on Tuesday. So if you are unavoidably detained, remember us in prayer. And that's just 1 hour coming up on Tuesday. Great. Shall we commit our time together to the Lord in prayer as we open now? Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we praise and thank you that you are our Father, the one and only true and wise God. We humbly come before you now and say sorry for the times we've fallen short this last week, but through your Son, we're grateful that we can come fully back into your presence now. Please bless this morning's offering and the gifts electronically given earlier this week. May they be used for the extension of your kingdom out from this small place. Thank you for this time together now. May your Holy Spirit minister your word and your guidance for our lives. May we forever declare your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we continue to declare that glory now? Shall we sing our opening hymn? So it's number 14, if you prefer to use the books. It will be on the screen. All Heaven Declares. So we look at our reading straight away. If you prefer to read and open the Bible, in the Blue Church Bibles, it's page 694 for Matthew 18. But we have got some imagery up on the screen with the words along the bottom to sort of guide us through. In my Bible, these 14 verses are split up into three. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and you all know the passage, causing one to stumble, and finally the parable of the wandering sheep. So what Hobbs and I have done, we've split this up into images, and it does go forwards and backwards in the verses a little bit. You'll see if you're following on the screen, but all the words are there is the important thing, all of God's word. So here we go. So the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child whom he put among them and said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you, in heaven their angel continually see the face of my Father in heaven." So we jump back to verse 6. "If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it will be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come to woe, but woe to the person through whom they come." Verse 8, "If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet that be thrown into eternal fire." Verse 9, "If your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell." The parable of the wandering sheep. Verse 10. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that has wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish." I know it jumped about a little bit there, but we liked the images, and we thought that was hopefully helpful. So this morning's title, "Those Who Simply Trust," before a little bit of an illustration. A few years, 15 years ago, Harrison and I went on some high ropes, some climbing ropes. We were thinking all about childlike trust this morning. And we said, "Well, now you'll enjoy it." And this young man put harnesses on us. So there was a lot of health and safety, you can imagine, and clipped us on. I brought some clips in to show you this morning. This one, which is very heavy, costs about £20, and we use it in the building industry for all sorts of jobs, and that would support like a Land Rover. Whereas this clip is worth about £2.99 and is good for like holding something on a camera bag. It looks more expensive, it's shiny, but I could probably open it up by hand if I tried. And of course, we've childlike trust, completely trust this young, spotty YTS lad who put the harnesses on us. But greater childlike trust, like where it was. When we said to Harrison, "Well, no, when we get up there, you'll like it." Or I think I said, "I think we'll like it." And we did, of course, and he completely trusted us. This isn't a picture of us, it's just a generic picture, but this is like the view that we had. And it was like a rabbit warren of you could go left or right, and it was like, no, Daddy, let's come over this way. And it was me that had to be trusting him, he was fearless in the end. So we'll look a bit more into that childlike trust a bit later. Shall we sing again? Our subheading, the greatest thing, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So let's sing the greatest thing in all my life. So we have is knowing you, second verse, loving you, and then we're moving on with that heart knowledge into serving you. So the greatest thing in all my life. Not to worry, you've not been shortchanged on the praise this morning. In a moment, Hops is going to come and lead us through a new song that's not in Mission Praise, and that will all be on the screen. But first, before we hand over for Hoppy, shall we have our prayers of intercession? And we'll have a moment of quiet where we can bring our individual prayers. But is there anything that anybody wants to particularly mention that we can pray for? You could say it out loud, or if you prefer not to, just mention the names and we'll all pray for that. Is there any particular? Yes. Oh, Gwendy's in hospital, yes. She's out now, and she's had that gall kidney stone. Yes, thank you. Jean has particularly mentioned that. Yeah. Anything else? Well, we'll have a moment of quiet, and here's all the silent prayers as well. We can do that. Okay, shall we pray? So, dear Lord, we just bring before you now our missionary partners supported here from this place. We think of Tim and Carol, working in distributing Bibles and your word, working with hope from above. We think of Catherine out of Rehoboth, working with the youngsters. I bring before you Laura Lee, helping so many with their infrastructure. May we just ask for your peace and wisdom to bless those in government. And concerning all the war and that terrible situation, just last week we were particularly thinking of those so affected by the earthquake. May those funds raised and given be wisely spent. Please bless all those decision makers in authority. Lord, we bring before you our trustees who so willingly spend their time on our admin. Bless Jeff and with Heather on their big trip. Be with Jenny and Barry as away on their break at the moment. Thank you for all the fellowship here, for the grounding us together, for each role and for each friendship. Lord, we bring before you Gwendy. So nice to be blessed with Gwendy so often on Sunday morning, and she's just having that kidney stone operation. She's possibly recovering now. Just be with her, and you know all about the situation there, and give her your peace and reassurance, and Tim as he looks after her, no doubt. And dear Lord, we just pray that you'll be with Dave's family, particularly at the moment, as Linda, Dave's wife's not well, just recovering, quite under the weather, and has some stomach problems, and just starting a new role in her new job. We be with them, and we thank you for Dave's input and friendship here. Just in the quiet now, we just bring before you those who have particularly laid on our hearts. So thank you, Lord, and we pray you'll bless all these prayers, both said out aloud and silently brought before you. And just please be with Hobbs now as he brings your word and shares with us. And we just say together the words of the prayer that you taught us to pray, the Lord's Prayer. It'll be on the screen if you need it. Okay. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us those offenses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Dave. Okay.
Morning, everybody. Morning. It's lovely to be back with you again. I don't know if you ever have moments of crisis of faith. I had a little one the other day. It wasn't a serious one, really, but it is something that comes to me sometimes. I sometimes look around at our country and I think, gosh, there seem to be so few people who are Christians. Am I really right? Am I on the right track here? Because so many people seem to live their lives unaware of the love and presence of God. And then just this morning, when I was just sitting quietly in our house, I try and take a few moments quiet if I can. I suddenly thought, I wonder if there's a Bible bit that might speak to me. I wasn't thinking about what I thought the other day. And Isaiah 45 came into my head, and I didn't know what it was. And I just bought a new Message Bible, so I thought, oh, I'll read it in that. And it was only as I was reading it that I suddenly remembered my crisis of faith the other day. And am I, is this the right? Is this thing right, this Christianity? And here it goes. This was some of it that I read. Who told you a long time ago about what's going on here? Who made sense of things for you? Wasn't I the one, says the Lord? Wasn't I the one, God? It had to be me. I'm the only God there is, the only God who does things right and knows how to help. So turn to me and be helped, be saved, everyone, whoever and wherever you are. I am God, the only God there is. And it was only as I was reading it that my questions from the other day came back to me. And I do sometimes think that, you know, God hears those questions we have. And then unexpectedly, you know, God's word comes alive. And I just thought the timing of that was amazing. There was I thinking, gosh, we seem like a depleted bunch. And then here was the Lord, like he was in the room saying to me, Dave, what are you worrying about? I am God. And I, with that in mind, this song that we're going to do now is one that I've just recently come across. You might know it already. It's called The Goodness of God. I find it quite moving because it talks about how God has been faithful to us throughout our lives, which is, now I'm getting on to a riper age, I can sing with a lot of heart, really. What I'll do is I'll play you through the first verse and chorus, and then I'll go back, and we've got two verses and two choruses. So if you want to join in, please do. So I'll just play the first bit for now, and we'll see how we get on. So I don't think it's too difficult a tune, is it? Does anyone know it? Has anyone sung it before? Okay. Oh, just this week. It's beautiful, isn't it? Okay, so should we stand up? Should we get this? Yep. So hopefully you'll pick it up, and if not, just listen to it through again, really. But I do love the words of it. Let's give that a go.
That awaken until I lay my head.
I'd done an edited version, so I gave you the long version by mistake, so I do apologise. I'll say a little prayer. Lord, thank you for that reminder. And for those that are here this morning who need a glimpse again of your goodness, because sometimes life is very hard and we can be full of questions. Lord, I pray for those people that really need a fresh strengthening, a fresh comfort from you today, that they will receive that. And Lord, for all of us, thank you for those words from Isaiah, that you are the living God and that you are the God that can help us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, here we go. Those Who Simply Trust was the title I was given this morning. I'm very grateful to Nick for leading us into some of this already. When this passage begins, I love this. There are some kind of humorous moments in the Bible that we don't necessarily think of as humorous, but this always makes me smile. It starts where the disciples come to Jesus doing what they do best, which is arguing about which one of them is the greatest. They do it a lot. It's called one-upmanship. Okay? What you have to remember about disciples is they're ordinary people. Okay? They want to look the funniest. They want to look the smartest. They want to look the most spiritual. You know? This is a bunch of people who are just like us, really. And they regularly seem to be arguing about or trying to prove which one of them is in charge. I think Peter spent most of his time trying to be in charge, which is why he did great things and then he put his foot in his mouth or he tripped over his feet when he was walking on water. You know, Peter was a natural leader, but while Jesus was around, he needed to learn. Once Jesus went to his Father in heaven, Peter took over. You know, he was a leader that came through, but he had to learn first. Anyway, so they come to Jesus and they say, which one of us is the best? Which one of us do you think is the most spiritual? You find in another occasion, James and John, they come with their mum. And I imagine their mother to be a bit like, apparently, you remember the Craze, you know, the gangsters from London. Their mother was a formidable mother. And I imagine that James and John's mother was a bit like that. And they come to Jesus and they go, you know, Jesus, when you're in charge, she says, I want my boys to be in charge with you. Can you fix that? And again, it's the same thing. I want my boys to be the top dogs. And Jesus constantly has to do things to show them that the kingdom of God doesn't operate like this world's kingdoms do. And on this occasion, as we heard, it's all about children. And one of the writers, great theologian called Tom Wright, writes lots of stuff about the Bible. He thinks it might have been a little girl, because that would really make the point. Because the thing is that in their society, children were second-class citizens and women were second-class citizens. So if you took a child who was a little girl, she was practically a third-class citizen. Apparently the men had a Jewish prayer they prayed every morning. They thanked God that they were a man. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And anyway, Jesus takes a child. See, this is the thing about Jesus. He doesn't just tell people things because he knows they won't learn very much. He gets them to do things and to experience things. I was thinking the other week, and there's a phrase I've sort of invented. It's something like this. I think Jesus wants us to learn with our hands as much as with our heads. He knows that we learn often by what we do or what we experience. So he takes this child and he says, this is the one you should look to. You want to talk about being great? You want to talk about being the best? Look at children and learn from them. And they'd have probably gone, you're having a laugh, aren't you? We don't want to be like that. We've grown up and we're men. We know what it is to be powerful and strong. And Jesus challenges all of that by bringing a child into the situation. And he doesn't just mention a child, he gets a child. So I've just highlighted a few things here, we've heard some of them already through Nick, but he talks about, this has often made me laugh, he talks about being as humble as this little child. I've got a 9-year-old, often mentioned her Lucy, she gets older with each visit here. I don't know if you know many little children, they're not always humble, are they, little children? Maybe it's, but I think it's a different kind of humility. It's a humility that has an honesty about it, they speak their mind. going to think about that in a minute. But, you know, he says, have the approach of children and welcome other people. You know, be open to them as children. You know, be curious about other people, if you like. And then he says something which is deeply shocking. Now, you have to remember that Jesus uses images which are powerful, but he doesn't mean them literally. And we've got two occasions in this passage. This is one of them. Jesus is not saying he wants to kill anyone. Okay? What he is saying is this. What I'm saying to you is really important. It's so important that if you cause little ones to lose their faith, it would be better if you were dead. So he's shaking them up. He's wanting to, you know, he won't let them go to sleep when he's talking. He's like, he's saying something so shocking, they'll never forget it. He's saying, be better if you were chucked in the sea, you know, in a concrete overcoat, as the craze might have said. But you know, that's what he's doing. He's saying, remember this, don't forget this. You know, because for Jesus, this is life. It's not religion. It's about how we live. It's about our lives, you know. It's not just Sunday, is it? It's every day of the year. And so here's another bit. I'm going to come back to the angel bit here, but before that, we just want to very briefly mention about, as Nick highlighted with those pictures, you know, Jesus at this point starts to talk about sin. What he doesn't mean is cut your hand off or make yourself blind. He doesn't mean that. What he means is put distance between yourself and that thing which is causing you to get lost, you know, to go astray, to lose contact with God. That's the idea, because at the end of the day, if you cut off one hand, you can still sin with the other. If you blind yourself, you can still sin, even if you can't see. It's not going to stop you sinning. What stops us sinning is this picture of separating ourselves from things that are not helpful for us. And it goes on all our lives, doesn't it? If you're like me, you separate yourself for a while, and then you don't separate yourself from things that aren't good for you. So, you know, it's a constant battle. But that's what I just want to say, that's another image. Jesus doesn't mean do any harm to yourself. He means think about the things which you need to put at a distance from yourself, really. And then we have this weird thing he says. He says about the angels. He's talking again about children. And I want to come back to little ones as well, because little ones doesn't just mean children. But he says, be careful that you don't despise them. For I say that the angels are in the presence of his heavenly Father. It's like they have guardian angels. Now, the power of this is this. There are many moments in the Bible where people have visions of angels, and quite often they're covering their eyes before God because God is so powerful, and they know that. What Jesus is saying here is he's saying, do you know what? These little ones are so important to God that their angels don't cover their eyes. They are so special. They are so amazing. They've got special guardian angels that don't cover their eyes before God. And I think there's something about the way children see God. And I love to encourage Lucy to pray about things. You know, this morning with my wife Lynn not being well at all, you know, I said to Lucy at one point, what should we pray for Mum? Because I kind of think children have access to God in a way that I don't, because I've got all my baggage. But children are simpler. So I got, you know, Lucy said a little prayer for Lynn. So that's just some thoughts, and we might come back to the lost sheep. But for Jesus, this is clearly such a big thing, because he knows about our egos as adults. No. Here's a lovely little picture. The Pope Francis was giving a homily one day, and this little girl, I don't know the story, all I know is that he got this little girl to sit on one of the special seats. A friend of mine says, oh, I wish she sat in the middle seat, but I think there would have been a theological issue if she'd actually sat in the Pope's seat. I don't think God would have had an issue, but I think the people might have. But this lovely picture where he gets this little girl just come and sit next to him. Same image, same thing that Jesus does. So just to sum up, I think overall what most of that passage is talking about is to receive like a child and welcome others like a child. Be open to others as the way that children often can be. And that is challenging because I'm very mature. I don't know about you, but I know a lot about life. I'm occasionally wrong, but only occasionally. Do you know what I mean? And that's what Jesus is challenging here. Put it another way, receive simply and remain open. Let's just say a little prayer for ourselves for that. Hang on a minute, I'll just say a prayer. Lord, you know what I'm like. You know what each one of us here is like. And Lord, this week, perhaps that's all we can cope with at the moment, but this week, if there's opportunities where we need to be a little more open and a little more trusting, Help us to do that. Remind us of this little, this passage and this picture of the child, so that it makes a difference for us this week, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now, anyone here watching The Chosen at the moment? It's a series. A lot of Christians are watching it, actually. It's in season 3. It's an ongoing story of the life of Jesus. But it's very earthed, and it's very rooted in reality. You can watch it free. It's on YouTube. It's on, if you have an app, if you use apps on your phone or your computer or your tablet, you just look up The Chosen app and you can watch them. And this is a great moment from early on. This is at the point, I think, probably before Jesus begins his ministry proper. He's woken up one morning by a group of children. And I think this greatly highlights the fact that children don't worry about trying to look right in front of God. They don't worry about looking holy or spiritual or saying the right words. They just ask questions. They're curious. So here is a group of children waking up Jesus. And they were quite early, I think. They didn't wait for his alarm clock to go off.
Leave him alone.
Shh. Shh. Wouldn't that wait half an hour, eh?
Can we be around today? These are my other friends, and Joshua again.
Shalom, my biggest friends. And Joshua again.
Shalom. Shalom. Can we be around today?
I suppose, but I have some work to do. You might have to help. Good.
How much longer are you going to stay here?
Until it is time for me to go.
What's that?
Well, I have some work to do here. And some people to meet. Then I will know the right time.
You seem next. Have you been doing this?
Maybe to some. But no, not to you. And I won't harm anyone.
Do you have friends?
Not you. I want to come.
Andy said, you travel a lot. Do you have a house?
My father provides everything I need.
Is your father rich?
Did Abigail tell you to ask me that?
No.
That is a question for another time.
What's your favorite food?
Oh, Joshua the Bread speaks. I like so many different foods, but I especially love bread for many reasons. Are those spoons coming along, girls? Good? Three. Is it tight?
Yep.
Almost? Okay. So tell me, you all know how to pray the Shema?
Yes.
Oh, I would love to hear it. You lead us.
Hear Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God.
Like the lip syncing went out a bit there. But what I love there is how moved he is when he hears the children praying. And it reminded me, you know, that all that we do here, reading the Bible, singing, praying, you know, whenever we're doing things which connect us to God, it's never about praying and it's never about reading the Bible and it's never about worship songs. It's always about our connection with God. So when he hears those children saying what is a very important prayer for them, the Shema, you know, he knows what is going on. He knows that those children at that moment are opening a window on heaven. That's Jesus' perspective. And that's what happens with us when we pray. We may feel like we're saying the same old words again, or we may feel it's dry or it's bouncing off the ceiling. But it never is. It never is. And it's about this developing relationship that we have with God. And I love that there. You know, that I love all of that clip with the children asking their questions. And I especially love Jesus cleans his teeth. Isn't that great? See, he did all those human things that we do. Jesus cleans his teeth. It's great, isn't it? And I've been thinking a lot lately about the first 30 years of Jesus' life. And you know what? He left a life of reminders behind. Because at some point when Jesus began to get known for doing miracles and teaching people, and the word was going around that maybe he was the Messiah, and then the crucifixion and the resurrection, as all of that was bubbling away, there'd be people who'd go, see this chair? Jesus made that. That would be in their house. Every time they sat on this chair, they might think of Jesus and think, wow, I wonder if if people say he is. See that hole in the roof? Jesus fixed that. See that door? Jesus put that in place. Imagine that. If you had things in your house that Jesus, the Son of God, had made. Don't you think that's amazing? I hope you do. I hope you do. Because I think there's people, for years after, would have had all those things to remind them that Jesus has been there. And I also think, knowing what people are like, some people would have gone, see this chair? Jesus made this. You want to make me an offer? It's not just an ordinary chair, is it? It's a miracle chair, special chair. I might sell this on eBay for a lot of money. I bet they would have done that as well. Because people are people. But there's another thing as well. Someone might have said, you know, this leg, Jesus fixed that. But not only that, he fixed the leg of the woman down the street. How did he do that? So all of these things, I just think it's amazing. I just think it's amazing. That's what we're talking about with Jesus. That's why he became a human being. Because he was going to leave a life of reminders, a whole trail of reminders. When he talked about two house builders building houses on rock or sand, he knew what he was talking about because he was a house builder. He'd done that. He'd done that. So he'd done much of what he talked about in his later life, you know. He knew what little children are like because he had brothers and sisters who were little. They were younger than him. He'd seen what little children were like. He grew up with all of that. So there we go. Jesus. Right, now I was thinking about children, and these are some of the words I thought to describe them. Curious, wondering out loud. Children often say things that they don't just think them, they say them, don't they? Asking for things, quite, you know, like they were asking Jesus, are you rich, was one of their questions. Discovering new things. Ah, yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it? I wonder what was the last thing you discovered, the last thing you learnt was. Might have been a language, might have been a little life hack, as they say, something to help you get through life. We watched that series, Sort Your Life Out. Don't know if you've ever watched that. That's full of little tips about how you make your life tidier and neater. What was the last thing you learned about God? What was the last new thing? Because there's a world beyond, way bigger than our heads, that is God. I don't know what the last thing you learned that was new. So children are all, they're always discovering new things. They can be kind, they can be cruel, but they can also be very kind. They can be trusting, which is what we're thinking about this morning. Full of wonder. Lucy came in recently. I was just typing away, and because I typed for a living, and I learned when I was 16 and working in a bank, I just type with two fingers. My wife does all the fancy stuff, but I can go very fast with two fingers because I've been doing it for a long time. And Lucy came in and she saw me and she went, wow, how'd you type so fast? Now my guess is if an adult came in, they wouldn't do that. They might look and go, oh, Dave can type quite fast. But they wouldn't have gone, wow, that's what children are like. If I'd have told a child that Jesus made a chair in someone's house, I might have got a louder reaction than I got from you today. Because they would express it, wouldn't they? So children can be full of wonder at things. They need help and they know they need help. because they're very aware of stuff they cannot do. Now, this is a challenge for us. Children are always making stuff up. Lucy is always singing, okay? And she doesn't care whether she's in tune or not. That's the problem when we become adults, isn't it? We worry about what other people think more. I got 8% in an art exam once. 8%. My wife and my daughters are great at drawing, but I'm not the one to go to if you want a drawing. I frequently tell them about the 8% because it hurt at the time. But it's true. What I did better, actually, was I came up with a reason for why I'd done this picture, which was really just a mass of colour, because I didn't know what I was doing, and it was for an art class, you know, in school. And then I thought, oh, it looks a bit like an album cover. And I was a big fan of Queen, so I put on it, When Worlds Collide, Queen. Now, that was the bit I thought was genius, to be honest, not the picture, but the idea that it could be an album cover. What else have we got? They do things in their own time. Never try and get a child out of the house quickly. You might think, oh, we've got 1 minute left, just time to put your shoes on. No, you need 20 minutes for that with a child, seriously. And what else? You've got your own ideas, I'm sure. But the point is, children have their own way. Children different ages as well, you know. And Jesus is saying, I wonder what you can learn, Jesus is saying, from some of that. Oh, and they see possibilities. Children see all kinds of possibilities, which I think are just a bit mad. Not quite sure that we can do that today, Lucy. But, you know, Lucy wants to do it right now. A couple of quotes. I love this one. One little girl was holding a hammer, and she was asked, are you Thor? No, she said, I'm five. That's good, isn't it? My little cousin was holding my dog when she turned to me and said, if I squeezed him as hard as I love him, he would explode. That's nice, isn't it? And one last one. One night when we were talking about going on dates, my youngest Millie piped up with, people should use dates to get to know each other. Even boys have something to say if you listen long enough. That's great, isn't it? And if you think of the feeding of the 5,000, this is a modern painting, a modern version. So the little boy has got a Mars bar and some crisps and an apple and probably a roll or a sandwich in there. Wasn't an adult that brought their packed lunch and said to Jesus, do you think this will help? It was a little boy, because the little boy saw a possibility. The adults were saying, I think we should send everybody home, or we'll never be able to afford to buy enough food for this lot. And it was a little child that went, well, maybe this will help. Okay, now we have the lost sheep in this story. And I thought I don't know if I asked Nick, and he didn't remember me showing you this clip. So I thought I'd show you this today. The lost sheep that we think of mostly is in Luke 15. You may or may not know the story. But in Luke 15, you've got the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son, or the prodigal son. Three parables together. Jesus, this is an illustration of the way Jesus probably told his parables more than once, and he used them to illustrate different things. In the Luke 15, it's about lost things. Here, it's about little things and caring for little things and little people and little children. Watching Sort Your Life Out, there was quite a moving episode where there was one of the dads had ADHD. And they talked a lot about it in the program. But basically what they do is they empty people's houses, put it in a warehouse so they can see what they've got, and they tell them they've got to get rid of 50% of what they've got, because loads of it they don't use or need. And then they will put it back in the house and redo the house for them. But one of the things they found in this house was £2,000 all scattered around, down the back of sofas, in old wallets. And they were very moved. The family were very moved when they realized they had all this money and they didn't know it. The reason I tell you that is people still lose money. And Jesus told this story about a woman losing money. It's a relevant story. But losing sheep is less relevant for some of us. You might do if you're a farmer now, but most of us are not going to lose a sheep this week. But we might lose our phone, or we might lose our keys, or we might lose our glasses case or our glasses. So here's a little bit from Britain's Got Talent, where a guy makes up a song about losing his phone and losing his keys. Yep. Now, I think the reason that song goes down so well is it's their story. Everybody in that room knows what it's like to lose your keys and your phone. And the reason Ant and Dec can act it out is because they've got them on them, with them. This story was supposed to be a story people would live again and again in their lives. Just like we will live that story. And if Jesus was here today, he wouldn't tell the lost sheep. He'd tell the lost car keys or the lost phone parable. Because the point is this, he wants you and I to remember this week when we lose things that there is a God who comes searching for lost things and who cares for those little things in our lives that need rescuing. It isn't just about non-Christians being saved. It's about those who already know God but have bits of their lives that still need rescuing, which I have. Maybe no one else here does. I don't think. I think you probably are like me. But I have bits of my life that are still in the dark. Still need Jesus' light coming into them. And it's about that. But in this situation, Jesus particularly uses it when he's talking about little people. And to Jesus, or in different points of the Bible, little people can refer to at least three different things. One is children. Another is those who love God, the followers of God. He calls them little people. And those who are on the margins, those who use the food banks, those who, you know, are ill and can't work, those who are struggling to get by at the moment, those who are homeless, those who sell the big issue. Those are the little people as well to Jesus. He's more talking about those people. And he's saying, care for those people, watch out for those people, because God doesn't want them to be lost and forgotten. So in a minute, I want you just to show you another little song with a little video, which I love, just to finish. But I'll show you this first. I think this is a great child perspective on life. Okay, so this is from a book called Drops Like Stars. And the writer says, several years ago, my three-year-old nephew and I were standing in front of a large window watching it rain. So the weather's bad, okay? And the little boy says, stars, stars, stars. And he says, I turned to my sister-in-law and asked, why does he keep repeating stars, stars, stars? And she answered, he thinks that when raindrops hit the ground for a split second, they look like stars. Now that's a child's view, you see. That's what Jesus is saying. Life isn't always easy or good, he says, but look out for those moments where God is with you. Look out for those moments of life in the midst of struggle. Look out for where there's light in the darkness. And here's a little boy who can see it all the time. Stars in the rain. Stars in the raindrops. And it's a challenge, isn't it? Because the culture is that we should look for all the negative things we can complain about. That's what we've done for centuries. Small talk is often about the things that have gone wrong. What Jesus is saying, look for the light. Look for the stars. Look for the things that you can share that lift people up. They don't just weigh a heavy burden on us. Because God is at work, and there are stars in the raindrops, you know. So, I don't need that slide. Here we go. I'm going to go into this one. Years ago, when I first became a Christian, I came across an album called Sing Good News. Don't know if anyone else has ever heard it. This was back in 1981. And one of the things I loved about Sing Good News was it was the Good News Bible was quite new. They had a competition and they said, can you take direct bits from the Good News Bible, don't change them, and turn them into a song so we can sing them as worship songs? And I think we need to do that today, to be honest, because a lot of people don't know their Bibles. I know bits of the Good News Bible because of those songs, because I sang them. And it's a great way to learn Bible stuff. And I'm going to play you this song, which comes from Hosea. Don't know if anyone knows much of Hosea. It's Hosea chapter 14, verse 4 and 5. And it says, I will bring my people back to me. I'll love them with all of my heart. No longer am I angry with them. I'll be to the people of Israel like rain in a dry land. They will blossom like flowers. I know that because of the song I'm going to play to you right now. I didn't learn it. I didn't sit down and learn it. I sang the song. So I've got this great little song, which are these lovely words about God, you know, bringing us to himself because he loves us. And a little bit of the Matthew's Gospel film where Jesus heals one of the little ones, someone who has leprosy, and everybody else would have rejected. And notice in this little bit of film, this man hasn't been hugged for as long as he's had leprosy. If you had leprosy, you were cast out of the community, cast out of your family. Everything in your family's house was either burnt or broken and thrown away because it might carry leprosy, and you had to start again. So here's a man who's been cast away from everybody. He hears about Jesus, and he hears that Jesus is someone who will welcome anyone. He's not like all ordinary people. He's someone who will welcome you, even if you're really ill and been rejected by everybody else. So here's this little bit. I love that. I love the way he knocks Jesus over. He just hugs him, doesn't he? And there's Jesus, full of smiles and life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are full of life still. And we need that life. Gosh, how much we need that. Please put more of your life in us. Put more of the ability for us to trust in you within us today, Lord. So that as this week plays out and we find ourselves in good situations and difficult situations, we will know that you are with us and are able to help us. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your help and your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to sing our final song now, which just reminds us really of who we're trusting in, and it's all about Jesus really. My hope is built on nothing less. Thanks. Jesus' name. Should we just say the grace to one another to close? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you.